Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Dave Rosenfeld, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivner of the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Ask Big from a Big God, already in progress.
My big sin was grumbling and complaining, and I still, praise the Lord, I end up doing it occasionally. I ain't got no gas in the eye yet, though, praise the Lord. But who knows what the, you know, I mentioned last time some precious soul wrote a letter and said, I'm so glad Dave's preaching about Sabbath. I said, okay, good. I kept reading. I thought, oh, dear heart, you didn't hear anything I said. I wasn't trying to command a Sabbath over you. I was saying, you know, God gave it to you. Enjoy it. There's only one commandment my Savior gave me, and that was to love. And if to love my wife is give her a day off, I'm going to love her. I'm going to go to the book and see how he says to do it. But there's no bondage in Christ. And my response to that will be, go read Romans 14. That's all I can say. But I do enjoy my Sabbaths, okay? I love them. But, oh, and I also mentioned that as the reason, I believe that was the reason why we weren't sick. My family hasn't been sick. My children haven't been sick. We haven't had sniffly noses and whatever. Well, we got whacked twice this last month. And so I went to God the second time. I said, okay, I don't get it, you know. What's going on here? Why did we get sick? And he says, it's my word that heals you. It's not what you do for me. It's not your works. That's a knowledge of good and evil. Yes, I gave you the Sabbath. I want you to enjoy it. It's a gift to you. But I didn't make you do that so that you could stay sick free. He says, I gave that to you as a gift. You stay sick free because you come into that Garden of Eden with me and you fellowship with me in the cool of the afternoon every day. Like Jeff was mentioning in that prayer, give us today our daily bread. I love that analogy of manna because manna turns rotten. There's only one day you don't have to study, Sabbath. He says, I'll even give you a day off from studying on the Sabbath. You just keep your food from Friday, keep it, I'll let it nourish you all day Saturday or whichever day you choose as a Sabbath. Back to the next day, get back to studying my word, get back to fellowshipping with me. Is that making sense? But so many of us, we eat manna one day, we get so excited, we run out, and then that's the last we see him until we're really sick again. And he says, no, you need to come back in here and get daily manna, not monthly manna or yearly manna, praise the Lord. And I was glad to see that most of y'all get manna, praise the Lord. Okay, finally I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me, and all my guilt is gone. When I was going through that thing in my flesh, these passages just lit up. When you are dealing with something in your flesh and you step into the Word for a time to get to know your Savior, you better walk away refreshed because you're not going to be able to handle the next incident or whatever is going to happen if you're not getting refreshed. This was a passage that God used to refresh me. Next verse. That's the last verse, I believe, yeah. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. Actually, there's some more, but we'll stop there. I wanted to go, how many of y'all have Psalms 91 memorized? Okay, a couple of y'all, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I wanted to look at Psalms 91 for a little bit. We got half hour, okay. I love this psalm. I preached this psalm, and it still preaches to me. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm staying in the NLT. Okay, but I'm gonna go back and forth between the King James. It says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." What are they gonna find? Where is it hidden? One more time. Secret place of what? Secret place in the back of my house? Where is that? Is that a literal place? What is that? What is the secret place of the Most High? Okay, good. I'm glad you asked. Okay, where specifically in the Word? Because we can be legalistic about the Word and it doesn't work. Wow, these questions. Now, why am I asking these questions? Just because I want to look smart? These were the questions the Lord asked me when I began to study Psalms 91. he started going, well, where is the secret place? I don't know. I mean, I just know it's there. But where is it at? Well, it's the Word. Well, okay, that was great. It sounded good, but it didn't minister to my heart. And then I found... What's that? It's where you get a rhema. Absolutely, it's where you get a rhema. The secret place of the Most High, if I can put it in one word, is faith. Faith is the secret place of the Most High. We translate that word in the New Testament, believe, faith, and trust. And so, if you trust Him, you are in the secret place. The problem is I would go in there and I'd finally get to a point where I could trust Him about something and I'd get what I wanted. I'd run out and be all excited and I wouldn't be back in the secret place. Now, the only place I know how to lead you to the secret place is to where you're getting rhemas out of the Word. That's the only place I know how to do it, because only the faith comes by hearing, and that hearing only comes from rhemas. The hearing, for you to literally hear in your heart, it has to be a rhema, and that's the secret place. So the secret place is just simply faith. If something comes, befalls me, I either run to the doctor, or I run here, or I run there, or I run to my Bible, like I did with Psalm 32, and say, okay, God, I need to get back in the secret place because I'm getting pummeled out here. And the secret place was where I built my faith, where Scripture started talking to me again, where they started ministering to me, and I said, okay, I can do it. And I'm not me personally, but I will make it, let me put it that way. I know that my King is going to show up, and I know I'm going to make it. Okay? So, but... Now, does it say those who chant this psalm, those who love this psalm, those who get warm fuzzies about this psalm? Okay, those who memorize this psalm. It says only those who stay in faith. If you don't stay in faith, forget about the rest of Psalms 91. It won't work. I mean, God in His mercy might make some portion of it work because He knows loopholes that we don't know of. But Psalms 91 doesn't work except for those who dwell in that secret place of the Most High. Not the secret place of any other place. Only of the Most High. And that's where they will find Shabbat. They'll find rest. They'll find peace, contentment. Because when all hell is breaking loose around you, the only place that you're going to be able to hide is not behind your gun. It's not in your storm shelter, praise the Lord, I can say that word, or in any other means of man's might. Only when you step into faith and say, you know, God, I can't handle this. You have got to take over. He says, I can help you out now. Now, you may be that with sickness. You may be that with finances. Your marriage may be in a royal mess. But He says, I can help you out if you'll step in faith. Now, once you've stepped in faith, you will find that rest. But look at what the next verse says. Bring up 1 and 2 together. Sorry, thanks. Okay, here's the chanting. Praise the Lord. I knew there was some chanting in here, right? This I declare about the Lord. He is alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in Him. Now, if we say that over and over again, that'll work, right? Who says no? Praise the Lord. Okay, maybe if I chant it in the secret place, it'll work. Actually, kind of. That's kind of true, actually. When I go to trust Him, I say, God, I'm going to trust You. I don't have any idea how You're going to get me out of this mess. But I'm going to say this about You. You alone, Yahweh, are my God, my refuge, my fortress, and I'm only going to trust in You. That will work. And I wouldn't recommend chanting it, because what's so funny is we'll get a revelation on this, right? And we'll go, yeah, I get it. I'm going to start doing that. And in about 3 weeks, we just say it out of routine, out of rote. And it doesn't mean anything to our hearts anymore. It doesn't work anymore then. Because God wants a relationship with us. And the only way He's going to have that relationship is when we truly step into faith and say, God, I'm going to trust You in this. Because You are my God. Like Jeff was saying about praying it to Him. We pray it to Him. And I go to God and I say, well, yeah, God, You're my refuge and my fortress, so better show up. That ain't going to work. My heart's not there. But if I declare about Yahweh, He alone, Yahweh, you alone, I'm not going to a doctor. I know I should. My friends all tell me I should, but I am not going to a doctor because you put it on me and you're going to take it off. I'm going to find out what I did wrong. I'm going to clean it up and I'm going to work on this relationship that you're seeking with me. But I will declare of Yahweh that He alone is my refuge. He alone is my place of safety. He is my God and I trust in Him. Now look what you get, and everybody knows this, look what you get when you finally get into that secret place. And remember, the secret place is faith alone, and as well as, I'm sorry, go back, I messed you up. The secret place is faith alone in the Most High. I mean, and how do you get there? It's through those rhemas. You're not going to have any trust in God. I'll use His doctor example. Why do you run to the doctor? Because you know God isn't going to show up and help you. Because I love the phrase, if He was a loving God, He wouldn't put that on me, so obviously it was the devil. Well, no, it wasn't the devil. It was God trying to say, hey, we got a relationship issue here. I mean, I want to talk about marriage for just a tiny bit. When you come together, the purpose of being married is not the marriage bed. But the marriage bed is the thermometer, okay? Well, boys, you get married because of the marriage bed, praise the Lord, okay? But the girls, it's different. They want the love and the relationship and all that. And God uses that marriage bed to tell you, how are you getting along? How is your relationship with your wife getting along? If you're not in that marriage bed and you're not mutually satisfied, your marriage has a problem. Bottom line, because and when we get older, we'd say, well, you know, she's just her, and I'm just me, and we just do our thing, and we coexist. God says that ain't going to work. That's not what I put the two of you together for. I put the two of you together so you could enjoy something that nobody else in the world gets to enjoy unless they get into a covenant. Okay, when we come to this shelter, it's the same thing. If you're not constantly getting rhemas out of His Word, your relationship is lacking.
You have been listening to Dave Rosenfeld of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Ask Big from a Big God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.